This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Hope you're having a good Friday and headed into a great weekend plan. Hopefully that's the case. We shall see. Beautiful day out today.
You know, how nice is it? How nice is it in New York right now?
It's overcast. It's not a great day at all.
But is how's the temp?
It's wondrous.
What?
Yeah, it's not overcast at all. It's gorgeous.
Come on, it's sunny?
Where I am.
Where are you?
I can't give you my coordinates.
He still has to be lying, Don.
I'm not lying. It's gorgeous out.
It's bright and sunny?
It is bright and sunny.
I want a photo.
Well, I'm not going to. I'll do it in the next break.
No, step out now.
No, you just want some airtime. I know you.
I won't say a word during it.
No, that wouldn't help either.
Just silence?
Why, is it be too much Peter?
Yeah.
I guess that's what he's saying, yeah. Like, he feels the same way as management.
I don't think you could ever have enough Peter.
Thank you.
Time for Diamond Notes, everybody.
Sure.
Brought to you by my good friends at London Jewelers. Anthony Volpe was 0 for 4 yesterday. So then you start to wonder, okay, market correction here? And then in the first at-bat against the Twins today, Jorge Lopez, that's the guy they traded for from the Marlins, and they sent the American League batting champion to get him. The Yankees like this guy as well. He struck him out on a slider. In his second at-bat, Volpe went to school on the fact that he struck out on a slider and crushed the next slider that he saw close to 430 feet for his third home run of the spring. This kid's a real deal. Now, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? How do I know? I mean, I'm probably not even going to be on this earth when his career ends, but he's that good.
If you are around, you'll look like the Crypt Keeper at that point. Let's be honest.
Well, how long is he playing?
20 years.
Probably. 20 years.
Yeah.
I am not. Michael's going to look like the Crypt Keeper at 82. He looks gorgeous at 62.
Fine. He won't look like the Crypt Keeper. I take it back. You're right, Don.
You're a bad guy, Peter. Anyway, Volpe, 47 at bats this spring, hitting .277, 3 homers, 5 ribbies, 5 stolen bases, OPS of .967. How are you going to keep him down on the farm? How? I know, just 22 games at AAA, but you said it was a competition.
Right.
If it's a competition, he's won. He's played better than IKF, and he's played better than Peraza. Now, you can lean back on the fact that Peraza played in the big leagues last year and hit over 300 in limited time and acquitted himself well playing in the playoffs. I get it. He's a good player. But you can't announce to the world that it's a competition and this guy dominated the competition, and then he doesn't make the team. Maybe they're trying to make a deal. I don't know. Maybe they're just waiting to see. Maybe Peraza will give them a reason. My personal feeling is that they went into the spring training thinking that Peraza was going to be their shortstop, that it wasn't going to be IKF, and that the only way Volpe could do it was to really impress everybody. Well, he has really impressed everybody. Well, and you can't say he's not on the 40-man roster. Frankie Montas is going on the 60. Boom. That opens up a 40-man roster spot.
But
I want to see the decision making. I want to see how they don't give him the job. But now you can make the argument Peraza has a better arm. Yeah, he does.
But I've seen
shortstops without great arms. They're fine.
But Michael, all the things you're talking about, the arm, Peraza's experience in the big leagues, we knew that going into spring training.
Right.
So why wouldn't you just say, no, listen, Peraza's gonna be our guy. Volpe will get his moment, but it's not gonna be on opening day. Let's see what he does in spring training, but right now our plan is he's going to start in AAA. That'd be fair. There's still a somewhat competition. You go out, he can change hearts and minds, but that's the plan. But if you said it's an open competition and the guy flat out, you know, outplays his competition, then how do you not give him the job? Then it wasn't an open competition. It was Fugazi. Now, again, you know better than me, Michael, being around these general managers. You know, is it a lie? Is it a fib? Whatever. But, you know, I don't know what they told him behind closed doors, but publicly, they made it seem like this kid had a chance. And he raked.
Well,
I think it sets a bad precedent if you if you don't reward guys for doing exactly what you asked them to do.
I had a conversation with his dad. This was during the winter at the Italian-American Baseball Awards. And he had told his son, shut it down for a month, let your body recover from a long season, and then pick it up again. And Anthony said, okay. And he was back home with the family. And they got a phone call from Brian Cashman and said, shortstop is open. It's going to be a competition in the spring training. The next morning, Mr. Volpe heard the garage door open at 6 in the morning, looked out the window, was Anthony in his car driving away. The father said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to the gym. He goes, but I thought we were going to shut it down for a month. He said, I got a chance to be the shortstop. I got a chance to make the team. I'm not shutting anything down. And then shortly after that, he went down to Tampa, and he's been spending the whole winter there. So he was told that he has a chance.
Yeah.
Now, the Yankees might give him the job.
Right.
I'm just wondering how they can. Now, but let's flip over to the other side of the city. The Mets have a decision, but it's not as clear-cut to me. Brett Baty has been unbelievable for the Mets in spring training. He's done everything they could have wanted out of him. But the difference is, if Brett Baty is your opening day third baseman, that means Eduardo Escobar, who's a favorite of the manager,
who
carried the team in September, Don, he's not going to play, other than maybe if Darren Ruff doesn't make the team and then you have him be your righty DH. But they like Escobar. The Yankees essentially don't have a shortstop. It's either Peraza or Volpe.
Right.
So who had the better spring?
And it just seems like I don't think Volpe's going to get mad and want demand a trade or anything like that. So I don't think it's going to be that awful a situation. But still, you feel bad. You told the kid he had a chance. He took advantage of the opportunity. I think you've got to reward your players. I think it sets a bad precedent around the organization that you told the kid he'd be given a fair shot, went out and grabbed that, only to really never have a shot. Because that's what you'd be saying is, I guess there really wasn't anything he was going to do to be able to take that job.
Right, because I thought, Don, all things being equal, Peraza would get it because of the experience in the big leagues. But it hasn't been equal. Peraza has not hit. Peraza's a very good shortstop. And you can't say, well, Volpe's gotten these numbers against lesser pitchers. A lot of the great pitchers were the WBC. Okay, if that's your argument, well, Peraza faced the same pitchers. And I think that Boone has been very fair. I think both guys have started 11 games at shortstop. Can't be more fair than that.
Well, which leads you to believe that it was a competition. And they wanted both to get equal time. Well, Volpe won. And all the things that you're saying about the arm and the experience, would the Yankees have been so wrong? Would Volpe feel bad if Cashman just said, listen, Volpe's going to start in AAA. Peraza's got more experience in Major League Baseball. He's got a stronger arm right now. Volpe's going to get his moment, but it's not going to be on opening day. Would it have been that awful? No, they didn't say that. So I think there's an obligation here to reward the kid for working his tail off.
It's going to be a very interesting decision. And can you imagine? And also, it makes the Yankees look better. It's their first-round draft pick. You know how many great players they turned down because they wouldn't trade Anthony Volpe? Luis Castillo might be a Yankee if they parted with Volpe, but they knew that Volpe was going to be a star. Let him be a star. Let him be a star on opening day. Other teams do it. The Braves have done it. The Braves have done it. Michael Harris came out of nowhere. Other teams do it. They bring up young players. The Yankees shouldn't overcook this prospect. It looks like he's ready. Even if he hits 240, he's going to steal 50 bases in the big leagues. And he's got an idea of what he's doing up there. I'm very intrigued to see what the Yankees are going to do. Very intrigued. They know stuff that I don't know, obviously. And I'm sure that they'll have their reasons if he doesn't make it. But I think an entire fan base is going to be pretty upset because we have all heard how great Anthony Volpe is and the Yankees weren't going to part with him. Well, he's shown us in spring training he's pretty damn good. Let him be the starting shortstop. Or let him be the starting second baseman if you want to make a trade. But he should be in the starting lineup.
Yeah, it's time. We've been hearing about this guy for a long time. It's time.
Let's go to Chris in New Jersey. Chris.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Doing well. So there's actually a little loophole that I just heard you mention the 22 days down in AAA to get the extra year of arbitration, I'm assuming, right?
No. He's just played 22 days of
last year. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, okay, well, you know, the extra year of arbitration, people always like to say be down in AAA for that little amount of time, and then they get the extra year. Well, actually, during the lockout last year, they put in this rule where if you finish top three in the Rookie of the Year voting, you actually lose a year of arbitration, and then you get a first-round pick. So we all expect him to be up this year and play well. He'll probably finish top three. There's really no reason to get that extra year then, and you get that first-round pick then. So there's really no reason to not have him on the opening day roster.
Yeah, Chris, it's a good point. We brought it up either yesterday or the day before. They wanted to incentivize teams not to hold back prospects. So if, in fact, you do let a kid start the season and he has a good year and he's top three in the Rookie of the Year, you're going to get a first-round draft pick out of it. So that's where, and of all the teams in the world, the Yankees should not be worried about keeping an arbitration year for the kid.
No,
they shouldn't be worried about that. They can afford anything.
That's for the small market teams, teams with limited budgets that have to think that way. Yankees shouldn't have to think that way. If this kid is worth keeping when he becomes a free agent, Michael, what's the year? What's the difference going to be?
Negligible for
and,
them.
But even that said, Michael, it's a reason that you could have given before spring training even started. We don't want to start his clock.
What would you do with Beatty, Don?
The problem
is great.
He's been great, and I love him, and he's got a future. Escobar is just so vitally important to this team. You saw when he went down last year, and then when he got hot, how important he is. Buck loves him. I think it's going to be tough for Escobar not to be the starting third baseman just because of how much Buck loves him and how important he can be to this team. You know, so, again, it wasn't an open competition going in for him. I mean, right? It was just you knew he was there and he impressed. But is it enough to have Escobar taken out as a starter?
It's a tough call, again, because the manager loves Escobar. Now, Don, you have your TV on in front of you at the show?
Oh, yeah.
On TV. I don't think Peter does. But Yes has, they took some video outside the studio. That's how gorgeous it is.
What?
So, really? Take a look. Tell me if I'm lying. This was moments ago. Blue skies, some strokes of clouds in the sky.
Nice.
So, am I lying? Why would I lie about the weather? Well,
because you have in the past.
I lied about the weather?
Yeah.
You lied about anything that can be lied about.
But what would be in it for me to lie about the weather?
Not because sometimes you just inadvertently will just throw out it's a beautiful day, not even really knowing if it is or it isn't. I don't think it was a strategic lie to make, you know, God look bad. I just think that, Pete, you know what I'm saying, is I thought it was like a lazy comment.
Me too.
I wanted to call him on it because it's been overcast all day here in Jersey. But I see the picture here on Yes. I also see people have sent me pictures from the Bronx and Long Island where it's gorgeous.
Can you apologize then?
Yeah, I hit the music, please. I'm Michael. I'm sorry I ever doubted you. There's a reason that you're the transmitter. There's a reason that the good folks at ESPN created that new massive contract for you. And it's not just your sports acumen. It's your weather acumen.
Get your bag.
And I never should have doubted it. Don?
No, I'm good. I think he just got lucky. I think he was just lazy saying it's a beautiful day, and it just happened to be a beautiful day.
I drove to the Yes Studios.
Right.
I got out of the car. It's gorgeous. How did I get lucky? I don't know.
I just think he got lucky.
Wow. Here's Anthony Volpe talking to my colleague Jack Curry on the Yes Network. They had the game today, and Curry asked him how confident he is that he'll be the starting shortstop.
How confident are you that you've done enough this spring to prove to the Yankees you could and should be the starting shortstop?
I just think it's all about development. I'm super happy with, I feel like, how I even came in January and the work I've been able to put in and getting better and keep improving. So regardless of where I stand, I just think that I'm not really close to my ceiling yet. So there's a lot of hard work to be done, and I'm motivated and confident that with all the people in this organization that they'll help me out and help get me there.
Says all the right things, too.
Yeah, he's not going to complain.
Now, Don, you've known me 21, 22 years.
Yes.
What would I say?
You would say, I was told it was an open competition. Take a look at the stats.
If I don't make it, I'm going to be red hot.
Why wouldn't I be confident?
Right.
And if I don't make this team, I'll be red hot.
That's me, but that's why Anthony Volpe is going to be a star, and I'm a hack. Those are Diamond Notes brought to you by London Jewelers, the engagement experts. Visit London Jewelers today at any of their 7 locations, including the newest location at the mall at Short Hills. Let's go to Eddie. Eddie's in Brooklyn. Eddie?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm just swell. It's a Friday afternoon. A lovely day out here, Don.
There you go.
Wow. And where are you?
In Brooklyn.
I'm heading home from Flushing to Brooklyn.
Well, that's what's great about the metropolitan area. There can be different weather and still be local.
Why is there always clouds over Jersey, though? That's
what not always clouds over Jersey. I'm just saying there's clouds over Jersey today. Tomorrow might be different.
All right.
To use a PETA term, it's delightful right now.
It feels that way. Well, to you.
So I just had a couple of quick tidbits. One, if you haven't seen the new Reggie documentary yet, spectacular.
I read about it. Haven't seen it yet.
Absolutely spectacular. And the other thing was,
what makes it so good?
Just it's not just him, it's history. You know, they have Hank Aaron on there, Julius Erving, just talking about the times and his career, and it's just really, really well done. And you're on there. I think I don't know if it was when his number is retired, they have you announcing him for the ceremony or something, but really well done. And I'm not a Yankees fan, but it was so well done. By the time they get to his third home run in that clinching 77 series game, I was actually like welling up with tears.
It's on Prime, right? Prime Video?
I believe it was, yes. Yeah. And the other thing was, considering Aaron Rodgers coming to the Jets, I was thinking about, you know, we keep talking about should he wear number 12 or, you know, what will we wear? And I was thinking of the perfect marketing tool for him, since he's an offensive weapon, he's a gunslinger, and any other military term you want to use. If he wears number 15, he's inherently AR-15.
I could see where you're going with that. I've said this before. I'll say it again. I will be disappointed in him if he takes 12. Despite the fact that Joe Namath offered it up, he shouldn't take it, out of respect to Joe Namath.
I get what you're saying with the AR-15, but he's never been referred to as AR.
And by the way, I don't know that that would
might
be the
not
most,
be the right time to do that.
Might not be the right time to make your nickname a gun. Just a thought.
No, but I'm saying, would people do that? Because there are people that are huge fans of that gun.
Anthony Richardson, the kid from Florida, was referred that way, and he stopped using it.
Austin Reeves also gets AR. I mean, I don't know.
But Aaron Rodgers wouldn't. He's A-Rodge.
I don't even know how much that's a thing.
I know it's not a thing.
I was
joking.
Okay, yeah.
But you usually don't get your nickname in like year 19 of a 20-year career.
That's a fair point by you.
Now, Don, I'm curious. Did you have a slice of pizza, or is that a piece like a drop of water on your?
A little pizza call. I mean, you are on my last nerve today. Seriously,
it's just
that's why I'm
screen.
Attacking you vicariously through your weather. I'm sickened by the sight of you.
What is it?
You won, Michael. You won. Your name's on the show. You're God. You just signed a massive contract. Why do you got to step on me? You tweeted out the picture of me resting my eyes during the meeting. Everybody's now assuming it was during the show. I'm getting Francesa videos. I'm getting, boy, I'd love Don's job. He could sleep on the air.
New York.
Because you sent the static shot that they would have on the air.
But
People don't take time to read.
I sent it out at 2:45.
People are consuming now. You did it to make me look bad. Congratulations. I got a little dollop of coffee. You got to point it out.
Point it out. It's there. It's screaming.
So it's there. So what? I'll pour it over my head.
Do it. Show us something.
God, is every little tiny little scrabble have to be a win? Now, all I'm doing, Peter, the show's an hour and 20 minutes old. I'm putting out fires left and right. I got to explain to people that was not on the air. I had an early morning flight. I got to explain myself. Why?
Because of Michael.
Because Michael wanted to have a little fun to show you how much better he is than I am.
Can I apologize?
No, I won't accept
it. Please.
I'm really sorry. I was just having some fun. It was my way of promoting the show. I didn't think people would take it that way.
You didn't.
I'm just mentioning the coffee because it's a great little Tommy Hilfiger sweatshirt, but it looks like it dropped some grease from a slice of pizza. That's all. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to win. I'm sorry. Peter, why don't you take us out of this malaise? Jeff Van Gundy's next, but I know you've got Drop Madness.
You're right. I absolutely do. Drop Madness brought to you by Wendy's. Fresh never looked so square at Wendy's. A Dave single now, just a buck. When you want the best hamburger, square's the beef. Wendy's. We start in the Flubs region. Oh, I love this four seed.
He went to movies by himself, and I used to kill him for it.
What's movies?
He would go to movies.
Movies.
Up against the five seed between Kaidi and Kairi.
How does that lose?
I got to tell you, I think this may be the most underrated matchup of the day. This is Kaidi and Kairi didn't really. They're going to make the mistake of throwing this on TNT at 9:43, wow. But it shouldn't be. It should be CBS at 7:20. We go to the funny region, number four. That's myself and Don recreating football players being mic'd up against the five seed.
I'm on the air.
That's tough. That is very tough. The four seed in the troubling region.
That's me by banging my forehead on the microphone.
Up against the 12 seed.
If the Nets had a happy Harden.
Lastly, in the nether region, the four seed. Andrew, how do you say the name?
Not like that.
Underrated.
So mean.
Up against the 12 seed.
Not good.
By the way, Andrew has sort of the same tenor in his voice in both of those drops. Go vote. TMKS ESPN on Twitter. The polls stay open until 6:20. Did you guys see that in Drop Sadness, I took out the great Chris Carlin today to get a Final Four berth?
Wow, that's a difference in weight class there.
Well, that's...
Hey, what a piece of garbage. Wow, you're a bad guy.
Wow.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We opened the show today talking about the Knicks' third straight loss, this one to the Magic. Had a meltdown at the end of the second quarter by Julius Randle as he got teed up and then got in the face of his teammate Emmanuel Quickley, who was trying to defuse the situation. And, you know, whenever we want to talk about what coaches can do about something like this, there's no better guy to talk to than our good friend Jeff Van Gundy, who joins us now. Jeff, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
Doing well. How's everybody?
Doing okay. Jeff, can a coach stop a guy who obviously is intense and emotional? Can he say this can't go on any longer? And we're talking about Julius Randle.
Well, you can say it. It doesn't mean it's going to stop it, though. I think players are going to be who they are for the most part. And I think Randle, through the first 3.5 quarters of games, usually plays well. I think he struggles. You know, he struggled recently, you know, minus the 57-point, barrage in that loss. But what worries me is it's a lack of poise when it's not going right for him. And you saw that in the playoffs. You see it now. These blow-ups aren't happening when the Knicks are ahead or things are going well. It's in the face of adversity, you need one of your two best players. You need to have the poise to be able to make corrections on the fly. And I think that's what's more worrisome than the actual technical fouls or the arguments with a, you know, a security staffer a few games previous or with a player then, you know. So I don't really think this is a coaching correction. It's a player who wants to get his emotions under control and play winning basketball. If he does that, if he has that in mind, then he has the possibility of progressing in his level of poise.
Can you tell us, Jeff, though, like, you're the head coach and you have an incident like one of the ones Randall's had recently. What do you specifically do that night or say that night to Randall after the game?
Well, first of all, you wouldn't wait necessarily till after the game. I think you try to deal with situations as they arise. And it all depends on the attitude, you know. If a player is contrite immediately after and he knows he screwed up, then you move along. If he tries to blame others for the issue, then, you know, depending on how often this has occurred, and it seems like it occurs a lot in games, but you don't know what it's like in the locker room. You don't know what it's like on the practice floor. I have no idea either. So I think so many other things come into play about how you would do it. But at the end of the day, you can't be fighting one of your two best players on the issues of what their responsibilities are as leaders. The leaders are responsible, as is the coach, for uniting and inspiring the group. That type of behavior that we've seen before or in last night is divisive.
You know, Bobby Knight was famous for saying, Jeff, when a player's not doing what he wants, you know, the best message is butt on bench, then butt sends message to the head, head figures it out, butt gets off bench, and then they don't do it again. Does that work in 2023 with NBA stars?
By the way, it's always great. That quote is so good. I mean, it's I professional basketball is far different from college basketball, and these are grown men. And again, the bigger issue, Michael, is if you're having to try to make these points of unselfishness and poise under pressure and treating people correctly, if you're having to make these points to your, you know, second best player, that's rough. You know, that's just rough because it's going to start another whole drama. Let's say Thibodeau benched him, you know, suspended him or benched him, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't mean the problem, A, gets resolved and improves. He may become, you know, his behavior may worsen. And secondly, you know how New York works. If he did that, I mean, that would be a constant drama, like, over and over again, day after day after day. So you could do it, but it's not necessarily going to improve behavior, nor is it necessarily going to be able to solve the problem and have them play, you know, better basketball. The only true solution here is Julius Randle decides, I got to get it together. I didn't play well 2 years ago in the playoffs. Last year he had double-digit technicals and, you know, didn't comport himself well. You know, this year his play has been much better up until the last few minutes of close games, but it's been much better, right? And gotten him off to some great starts the last two games, not as much, but you got to be able to handle the ups and downs of a season and show your teammates that you're going to be a rock solid player, even when it's not going well for you. Mm-hmm. And the only way it's going to change is if, you know, that's what Randall decides he wants to accomplish. No one's going to talk him into this. No one's going to discipline him into it. It's going to have to be ultimately Julius Randle as a grown man deciding this is what I want for my team and myself.
See, the scary thing for me, Jeff, is that while he develops this the final seven games of the season, or if they do want to make a run in the postseason, how can you do that? In order to beat a Celtic team in the second round, you're going to have things go your way. You're probably not going to get calls and have things go your way if you've got a player acting like this.
Well, I think you know, first of all, they have to qualify for the playoffs.
Right.
You know, I'm not like everybody else assuming. Secondly, the only chance they have to get to the second round is if they play Cleveland, right? And to do that, there's work to be done. And Cleveland would still be a prohibitive favorite, but they'd have a fighting chance. And the top three, they might play well, but they don't. I don't see a path forward to them winning a first round series. So you make valid points. When you're in the playoffs, every possession there is just a little bit, obviously, more meaning, more pressure. The game, it's going to be more physical, so you're going to take more hits and bumps that are not called. And if you can't handle, as a team or as an individual, physical play or calls that don't go your way or bad runs in a game, then you're not going to have the mental fortitude to be able to endure and win playoff games and playoff series. You need your best players to play their best when their best is needed. And the only way to do that is if you have mental strength.
Now, you've obviously watched the Knicks a lot, so you know what's going on. And you mentioned at the end of games. And one thing that has frustrated me, Jeff, because, listen, I don't want to just pick apart Julius Randle. The guy's a horse. He's played every game in an age of load management. He's had a very good season. But down the stretch, he's dribbling, and he just gets stripped, either weak side help. I mean, as a coach or a teammate, can you say, no, that's not your job. We'll get you the ball where you can actually create. Because I see it all the time, and down the stretch, that's what's going to happen. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree with you on both parts. The first part is Randle playing every night to be available and durable and play every game is sensational. And it just doesn't happen as much anymore, particularly for really good players. Mm-hmm. And like I mentioned earlier, what he's been able to do to start games and get them off the great starts has been fabulous. And even the Miami shot that went in, the three that went in when they won down in Miami, it was a bad play that yep. turned into a most fortunate result. So obviously their go-to guy down the stretch of the game is Brunson. He's got the skill set and the poise to be a great finisher. But other teams know that too. And so he's going to see, you know, more doubles late. And that's where, to me, Randle and his teammates have to be ready to shine, where they don't have to over-dribble and over-create, catch and shoot, catch and pass, catch and drive. Brunson, to me, is going to have to shoulder the lion's share of the burden of either creating a good shot or drawing that next defender and putting two on the ball where you're playing on the weak side to a 4-on-3 advantage. And I think, you know, that has its challenges from the standpoint of a guy like Randle to understand. For the first two, you know, the last 2 years, I've been the guy we went to. But this guy that we brought in, he's better suited to be the initial decision maker. And on the backside, I'll get opportunities. But I'm not playing well enough nor efficiently enough down the stretch. Too many dribbles, too many turnovers. And so I think that, again, it all goes back to an attitude of doing what's best for the team. And I think it's not just a Randle thing. It's an everybody thing. But they all have to recognize Brunson is their go-to guy.
Before so you don't like to make...
Go ahead.
So you don't want to make assumptions. Where do you think this Knick team is going to finish?
Well, I'm going to say, like I just said, I thought they were going to be a couple games below 500 to a couple games above 500 in that range. I think the Hart trade moved the needle, you know, maybe a game or two up. So I think they'll end up 44, 45, you know, in that range. And that may or may not be good enough for fifth. We'll see. But I think Cleveland, they could really play well in that series. And even though I don't think they would be favored and it would be an upset, I think that would be their chance to be their most competitive in a playoff series.
Now, before we let you go, obviously your time with the Knicks, lengthy. Did you have any interaction with Willis Reed?
You know, the only, like, interaction was when, remember when he was coaching the Nets,
mm-hmm.
and I would go over there and scout, and he was so, so very gracious. And a few other times that he would be in the Garden, you know, I didn't really get to know him or anything, but he was always this like mountain of strength and dignity as he walked around and greeted people. And from afar, when you're observing him, you understood why he was the captain, why he was revered, and why he has such a place in so many New York Knicks fans' hearts, because not only did he play well on the court, but the character he displayed in going about his daily business was extraordinary.
Thank you, Jeff. Have a good weekend. We appreciate your time.
You too. Take care.
That's Jeff Van Gundy. Some interesting things. We'll pick apart what he said, but it's interesting. He does struggle down the stretch, and he struggles when things get tight, and also his emotions get to him as well. That's not a good sign for the postseason.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
A little cloudy in Jersey. Peter's, we don't know where he is, but it's obviously not nice.
I'm in Chevy Chase, Maryland.
How's the weather there?
With the fam. It's terrible. We wanted to see the cherry blossoms today. It's rained all morning, and now it's gray and kind of cool. And yesterday it was gray too, but it was beautiful temperature.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't think you care.
No, I don't. The New York Islanders' 50th anniversary season continues with celebrations and giveaways all season long at UBS Arena. ESPN New York wants to make you a part of this historic season. Enter to win 2 free tickets. See the Islanders face off against Tampa Bay Lightning. That's at home on April 6th. Just download the ESPN New York app, scroll down to contests, and submit your entry. For full contest rules, go to ESPNNewYork.com. Be sure to visit NewYorkIslanders.com for team news, tickets, and more, and catch every Islanders game live on the Islanders stream, heard only on the ESPN New York app. Now, Donald.
Yes.
Yesterday, a big win for the Rangers. Nice bounce back. They win 2-1. Are they playing for anything right now? Because, obviously, catching the top team, that's out. So they're not really holding anybody off either.
Well,
so is this just tightening things up for the playoffs?
Yes and no. I mean, still mathematically, there are some possibilities here. They right now are 6 points back of first.
Right.
But Carolina's got 2 games in hand. But
right.
Monday will be a really telling time, because tomorrow Carolina's playing Toronto and Boston back-to-back Saturday, Sunday. 2 of the best teams in the NHL. So say they lose both those games, Rangers beat the Panthers, they got Columbus on Tuesday, bang, you make up 4 points right there, you might be able to close in. They're 4 points back in New Jersey. New Jersey's got a game in hand. So they could still finish with home ice, they could still catch Carolina, but right now it's about tightening things up. And over the last couple of games against Carolina, Carolina's a really good team. And they were like 2 playoff games that I called on Tuesday and Thursday. And Rangers lost a 1-goal game on Tuesday. They came back and won last night on 1-goal. Fox scores in the third period, breaks a 1-1 tie. Rangers can't get a shot on goal through the first 10 minutes of the game. And then they finally break through with a Panarin goal to tie it. And all the while, Michael, through this 7-1-1 streak the Rangers are on, you could talk about the goal scoring and all that, Igor Shesterkin's starting to find himself. He had a huge save on Puljujarvi at 1-0 Carolina. Huge save, moves to his right, makes the save. Moments later, the Rangers score to tie the game. He has been outstanding. And if Shesterkin is going to play this well going into the playoffs, the sky's the limit for this team, because he has been not nearly as good as he was last year. But over his last few starts, Michael, he has been outstanding. So even if they don't move from third place, there's still value to these final 10 games build some chemistry. But if they can get Shesterkin anywhere near where he was last year, this is a better team than they were last year, and the sky could really be the limit. If he reverts back to where he's been for a good portion of this season, it's going to be tough.
All right, let's go to Carmine and Englewood. Carmine.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. You?
Not too bad. I've got a Gleyber Torres take for you, Michael K. And if you guys will hear it on a Friday, I got a pretty good would you for Don.
Interesting.
If not, I'll have that Wednesday.
Not with today.
The Gleyber Torres take is, I love Gleyber Torres, but doesn't putting him on the trade block kind of solve a lot of problems? We'd be able to get Peraza and Volpe up.
They're not going to give him away.
Yeah, because we got to get something for him instead of just letting him go at the end of the season, because I don't think they're going to pay him. I think they've got bigger things to do than pay Gleyber Torres.
They're not going to just let him go, though. I mean, he's got another year before he's a free agent, so.
Okay. And then the would you for Don is, Don, if you could go to a Mets game, Steve Cohen, owner's suite, the whole deal, but you got to take Lonnie from the company with you. It's got to be a triple thing. You can build a whole friendship with Cohen, a long-lasting thing, but everything you do, Lonnie's going to be there. You in or you out on that?
I'm completely 100% out. I'm nauseated by the even thought of it.
Wow. You got to appreciate that about Don, Peter. He has a conviction. He sticks with it.
Well, no.
I love that.
Here's what I love about Don. He is kind. He's empathetic.
Yep.
So much so that when we got into it with the quote-unquote company a few weeks ago, I had no interest in even thinking about them ever again in my life. I was ready to just – Don patches it up, reaches out, wants to make things good out of the kindness of his heart. He's sending DMs to these people.
Yeah.
But he's not – that's being nice. See, that's the difference between nice and spineless. He took that step, but then when the line was crossed, he said, you know what? I've done enough.
Right.
Good night and good luck.
And I felt betrayed.
As you should
have. I really did.
So
I'd have a lifelong friendship, but it would be based on a fraud. And Lonnie would just be so – he'd complain. I didn't shake his hand firmly enough, and he'd take to Twitter and complain.
Don, I noticed that when we shared Buffalo wings, you ate the last wing, and you didn't even offer me the last wing. It's like I don't even know if we're friends.
I'm done. And seriously, you make the choice. If you are in the company, you're blocked. If you want to freely have conversation, we have some fun, then get out of the company.
And if you reference the company, because Don is just much the boss of this show as I am, he has ordered me. Anybody says shout out to the company, you're off.
Well, done. Because then you're declaring. And that, basically, if you say shout out to the company, it's like making fun of my mom. Like if you were going to shout out something negative about my mom, would I keep you on the air? See,
no.
It's the exact same thing as far as I'm taking it.
Have there been any, since everything went down, have there been any known defectors from the company?
Who knows? You're talking about like seven people. I couldn't pay attention.
You were nice enough when we got some call the other day, and you said, how many are in the company? You said at least in three figures. Yeah. Even that was generous.
Yeah, I was trying to be, but again, it fell on deaf ears because of sensitive Lonnie. So what I do, I make it a game. I encourage these people to tweet me as soon as I see company, and boom, block.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.